Good evening, everyone. This is Paradigm Shifters, and the paradigms are shifting. Thought potential, our integrity potential, our ability to love, all of that is shifting in the great fields of consciousness that we all breathe in. But some people are able to help us express this in ways that you and I can really maybe have more confidence and faith in it. And I'd like you to meet ShareInternational.org's representative, or the coming consciousness of Maitreya representative, Dick Larson, who's going to talk to us about this tonight. Hi, Dick.
Hi, Veronica. Thanks for having me on.
I'm very excited to talk to you. So who are you and who's Share International? Can you give us a little bit of that first?
Sure. I'm just a guy. I live in Southern California, and I have been studying something called the ageless wisdom for many, many years now. I grew up a Christian and did a lot of church activities, and then kind of moved from that into a study of the world's religions, and then from that into a study of the ageless wisdom. The ageless wisdom is not a religion. It's a philosophy, an ancient, ancient philosophy, and we can talk more about that. But as for me, I've been doing radio interviews around the world for a lot of years now, and basically telling the story about the major shift that's happening in the consciousness of humanity, and a major event that is going to be part of that shift that's coming up. And so I'm a volunteer for an organization called Share International, which is a nonprofit educational organization that is selling books. I'm not here to sell books, but selling books and getting this information out through people like me. I am not the story. In other words, the story isn't about me. The story is what I have to say about what's happening to all of us.
Good. I want to hear that.
That's why I'm here.
Great.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. And what you're
Thank
saying
you.
Is there really is a paradigm shift going on, and its potential
oh, yes.
is... What is it you call How to Fix a Broken World? One of the pieces of information that came through from your material, right? And is that
right.
That's what you're aiming toward right now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. There are major problems, as you know, with the world as it is right now. None of our major institutions are working like they're supposed to work.
No.
The educational system doesn't work. The healthcare system doesn't work. The government doesn't work. It's not properly representing the people. And so on. The financial system is bouncing all over the place. And so nothing is working like it's supposed to be working.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think, I often think it's the book of Revelations where why it's not working and the corruption behind the scenes is being revealed all over the place. It's like a big opening of some sort, don't you think?
Well, I think it is, and I think the book of Revelations is probably the most difficult book to understand in the entire Christian Bible.
Yeah.
But there's another way to look at it, too. Yes, evil and problems are being revealed all over the place, but that's and it looks horrible because we're in the middle of it, Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
But
we're
actually
waking up to it, right?
Well, we've got to know that it's there before we can clean it out.
Right, exactly.
It's coming to the surface so it can be cleaned out.
Exactly.
And that's how change works. And right now we're going through an actual cosmic change as well, because we periodically, our solar system and our planet periodically come into alignment with each of the 12 great constellations that surround us. And these constellations have tremendous power, tremendous energy. And, of course, we absorb them when we're in alignment with one of these constellations. Well, for the last 2,000 years, we've been in alignment with and absorbing energy from the great constellation Pisces. And when that happens, we say we are in the age of whatever that constellation is. So for the last 2,000 years, we've been in the age of Pisces and receiving Piscean energy, which has helped humanity and our planet evolve in certain ways, which I can get into. Well, now, as of 1675, we've started moving into the influence of Aquarius and moving into the age of Aquarius and receiving Aquarian energies, which are quite different and are preparing us for the next stage of human evolution.
Well, wait a minute. You
well,
said
whenever you're
1675. That's a long time. It's a slow-moving
yes.
process, is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
In 1625, we started moving out of the influence of Pisces, and in 1675, we entered into the influence of Aquarius.
Hmm.
And whenever you have these two tremendous energies crisscrossing at the time, because right now we're kind of halfway out of Pisces and halfway into Aquarius, what you have on the planet is chaos, and that's exactly what we have.
Uh-huh.
We're moving from a world of competition and individuality, which are the energies of Pisces, into a world of cooperation and synthesis. So we're moving from competition into cooperation, so that the individual who man came out of the herd during the Piscean era, and now the individual human being can put him or herself at the service of the group, which is the world.
And it's a community, so it's a community consciousness, isn't it?
Yeah, we come to the age of the world server, and that's what cooperation is all about for Aquarian energies. So we're in a world that's changed dramatically, and people don't know that the rules for living successfully on the planet have changed. They've changed from cooperation to competition to cooperation. So you're going to see a lot less competition now in the future and a lot more cooperation. Work is going to be done through groups, not individuals. That's another aspect of the change. So right now there's a lot of chaos because there's people from the Piscean era who are holding on for dear life to the way things are right now. And then there's the younger people who have come in and who know all about the energies of Aquarius, and that's comfortable for them, and they want to move forward into a new era and into a new way of successfully living.
Well, actually, technology is Aquarian too, isn't it?
What is?
Technology, and these kids are being born breathing it, you know?
Yes, because technology is going to be put at the service of humanity in a much greater extent than it has been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an exciting time to be alive because there are going to be unbelievable changes, and some of them will happen very, very quickly, Veronica. So it's an exciting time to be alive. Something that I didn't tell your listeners, if you don't mind, I'd like your listeners to know a couple basic things before we get too far into this.
Sure.
One is, where do I get my information? My information comes from a man named Benjamin Krem.
And I used to read him a lot years ago, you know?
Did you?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's still putting out books. He's got about 15 books on Amazon.com. Like I said, I'm not here to sell books.
Mm-hmm.
But if people want to read more, they can get any of his books, or they can go to the Share International website,
right,
and get more information. But I get my information from Benjamin Krem. He is the latest revealer of the Ageless Wisdom. The person before him was a woman named Alice Bailey, who wrote about 20 books in the 1930s and 40s.
And has a huge impact on people who are metaphysicians from way back.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Benjamin, she was a revealer of the Ageless Wisdom, and now Benjamin Krem is the most recent.
Wonderful.
And so that's where I'm getting my information, is from Benjamin Krem. He gets his information from one of the masters in the spiritual kingdom, the spiritual hierarchy of our planet. People call it the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of souls, the masters of the wisdom. There's many different names for these great, great spiritual entities. And one of them is in contact with Benjamin Krem. He was trained to learn how to communicate. For about 25, 30 years, he was in training to learn how to communicate. So his information comes directly from the spiritual hierarchy. So that's something I wanted your listeners to know. And the second thing I want them to listen to know is, please don't believe anything I say. Because that would be blind belief, and I can't recommend blind belief to anybody. So I'm not here to convince anybody of anything or to talk anybody into thinking like I think. That's not why I'm
here.
Well,
so, Dick,
I'm just here to give out my information.
How do we decide then which information is true?
Yeah, each person has to decide for themselves. So maybe 20 or 30% of what I say makes sense to one person, and 10% makes sense to another person, and 50% makes sense to somebody else. So everybody, you know, will just take it for what it's worth in their life. And I don't think I'm wasting people's time, or I wouldn't do this, of course. So I think what I have to say is important, and obviously I think everything I have to say is the absolute truth, or I wouldn't be doing this. But I can't prove it, and I'm not here to prove it.
But you're living it, right?
I am living it, and so are we all.
Yeah. Well, this is really exciting because talking about it, you're reminding me that a lot of the children being born are being born with kind of an enlightening, what would you call it? They are born to have a better attitude, a more Aquarian attitude to life and to community, right? I mean,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. They're born thinking of other people. Mm-hmm. They're more thoughtful of others, especially as they mature. And they're more insightful. Mm-hmm. They're more evolved. I mean,
yeah, they seem to know so much, even though they might not be advantaged or whatever, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. They do. And each age brings into incarnation the people that need to be there at that time to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, if you want to go back to the book of Revelations, a lot of people are worried about the Antichrist, a lot of Christians.
Well, I just want to interrupt. When I'm kind of cheeky and say about the book of Revelations, I go back to that word meaning reveal. And it seems like so
yes.
much is being revealed is kind of where I'm taking it as a simplistic approach, you know?
Yeah, it is. And during World War II, World War I and World War II were basically one war that went underground for a few years and came back out. And Hitler, of course, promised everybody a perfect world and was incredibly evil. He fooled millions and millions of people for over 30 years mm-hmm. and persecuted millions of people and was incredibly evil and ultimately was destroyed by the Allied powers. Hitler was the Antichrist for our time.
Oh, really?
The Antichrist... Yes, the Antichrist is not a person, it's an energy that's released periodically to break down the old order and pave the way for the new. And if you look in the book of Revelations, it says the beast 666 when it's talking about Nero. Nero was the emperor at the time that Revelation was being written, was persecuting the Christians something fierce, mm-hmm. and single-handedly destroyed the Roman Empire. You know that old saying, Nero fiddled while Rome
right.
burned. He basically did that. Well, the Antichrist was expressed through him 2,000 years ago to break down the old order, which was the Roman kingdom, and pave the way for Christendom. Well, 2,000 years later, it was released through Hitler, Mussolini, and a couple of his generals, and a couple Japanese generals. But the primary mover for the Antichrist energy for our time was Hitler. And if you think about it, he did everything the book of Revelation says that the Antichrist is going to do. And he was defeated. Now, the Antichrist energy will not be released again for another about 3,000 years. And I'm told that that battle will be fought on the mental levels, not on the physical levels. But Hitler came and went and paved the way for the teacher for the age of Aquarius, which is why I'm here, which is to talk about Maitreya, the world teacher.
Oh, before we get into Maitreya, which I'm really excited about doing,
sure.
I believe it was Benjamin Krem that said many years ago that Hitler was an initiate. And the things that I remember reading was that in his, in quotes, evilness, he forced a lot of people to become conscious of goodness. Is that true? Is that how I've thumbnailed it in my memory? Or would you put that?
Well, the masters will use any energy that they can to advance the evolution of humanity. And so that did happen during that time, but not because Hitler was an initiate, but simply because the masters used that to help people. But he was an initiate is the reason he was so powerful.
Mm.
Because there are five initiations on the way to becoming a master.
Okay.
And those are the stages of evolution that we all go through. And they're all, by the way, represented in the story of Jesus, the gospel story of Jesus. He lived examples of the five initiations. And the first one was baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And so Hitler was a second-degree initiate. Now, because he was that involved, I mean, most of our world leaders aren't second-degree initiates
mm-hmm.
right now.
No.
So he was very involved. And what that meant was that the forces of evil had a very powerful tool to use.
Hmm.
And they did.
Hmm.
They did. The dark forces used him, and he was very powerful. If he had been a first-degree initiate or not an initiate at all, like most of humanity is not an initiate right now, if that had been the case, he wouldn't have been able to accomplish anywhere near what he did. But because he was so advanced, the dark forces were able to use him as a very powerful tool, and he was therefore a good expression of the Antichrist energy.
Wow.
Because he destroyed the old way. What the masters didn't know we would do. We have free will. And they can see the future long term.
But it's pretty hard to believe we have free will when we have someone murdering so many people at a time. It's still going on. It's still going on.
Well, they do it through free will.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
You know, I mean, if they weren't allowed to do it, then they wouldn't be doing it. We all have free will. That's how we learn and grow. Free will is sacred. Even the masters will never tell us what to do, ever, ever. They will make suggestions. They will offer themselves as a guide, but we have to ultimately choose. Just like when my trainer comes forward, people are going to have to listen to him and see him and make their own decision what they think. You know, a lot of people are going to say Antichrist, Antichrist, and a lot of people are going to say, I don't know. And a lot of people are going to say, sounds good to me, let's try it, you know. But we have to do the work. He's not going to come and wave a magic wand and make everything okay. It's our mess. We have to clean up the mess. That's karmic law.
Well, let me ask you this then. If the masters are there, there's a consciousness overlooking and overviewing our cacophonous free will, right? In order to help us, what, love and grow and heal and advance, is that right? In order to help us.
Sure.
But they can help us, but they can't tell us. They have to.
They inspire us.
Okay.
They inspire us behind the scenes. They give us great examples of humanity who stand in front of all of us and give us examples. They send teachers like Jesus and Krishna and Confucius and so on. They send teachers to help us. Now, it's interesting you said that, because now, Veronica, the masters are coming themselves. Maitreya does not come alone. Mm-hmm. There are 14 masters in the world right now.
Okay. In existence, wait a second, are they in the physical?
Yes, okay. In physical good. Bodies. Mm-hmm. Yes, including Maitreya, the world teacher.
Okay.
Who is the spiritual kingdom is like the earthly kingdom. It's a hierarchy. There's evolution going on in the spiritual kingdom too. When we're done evolving as human beings, then we start evolving in the spiritual kingdom. Mm. We don't need bodies anymore because we've learned all the lessons planet Earth has to teach us, like the masters. They went through evolution ahead of us. And now we become spiritual beings, and then we start evolving in the spiritual kingdom. Well, that's what the masters are doing. So there's different levels of masters. Jesus is a very, very high, one of the very highest masters. Mm-hmm. Maitreya is as well. The Buddha is. Maitreya and Buddha went through humanity first. They were the first two to evolve into the spiritual kingdom from planet Earth. And so they're kind of like brothers, Maitreya and the Buddha. But Maitreya has been working most closely recently now in the last 40 years with Jesus. Mm. And he and Jesus have been appearing to people. They appear as ordinary human beings, okay. And they can appear any way they want to, of course, sometimes as a homeless person, a man or a woman, a child or an adult. And they appear to people usually to teach them a lesson, to teach them something, or to encourage them. And they've been doing that for a long time now. And when people think they have an experience of one of the masters, they write to Benjamin Cram or send him an email, and then if it's a true story, he will ask his master if it's true, and then if it is, he will publish it in Share International Magazine, which is a monthly magazine that comes out. It's in like 42 countries. It has no advertising. Benjamin Cram is the editor. He doesn't want to be beholden to anybody, any of his advertisers, so there's no advertising.
Wow.
So he will publish those letters, and so there's every month there's letters from people who have had an experience of a master. But yes, there's 14 in physical bodies. Before this age is done, there will be over 40 masters walking amongst us, giving us suggestions. There'll be masters, this is what I love, there'll be masters in every aspect of human life. So there'll be masters helping us with government, helping us with music, the arts, healthcare, education, all these different areas, medicine. There'll be masters in each area of human endeavor to help us and guide us and get us on the right track.
Oh, wow.
We've lost our way.
But wait, if there's something else I want to ask you. Don't we have the rising, it's kind of like a vehicle, I guess, of huge frequency shifts going on that are universally they come from the universes, right? Aren't they coming through and giving us the potential to evolve as well? Like the masters might embody them, but they are actually happening out there. Is that right?
Yeah, the masters are actually the masters of those energies.
Okay.
And some of these energies come from great cosmic places like Sirius.
Right.
Sirius is our twin solar system.
Okay.
We are very fortunate to have that as our sister solar system, because Sirius is very, very evolved. The evolution there happens very, very quickly. I'll give you an example. It's my information that Judas, who, you know, sold Jesus down the river, that he took the Syrian path. Once you're evolved through humanity, then you can take one of several paths. There are different paths, and one is the path to Sirius.
Hmm.
He is on Sirius now, and he is as advanced a master as Maitreya is.
Wow.
Now. Yes. The path of evolution on Sirius is very, very fast. I guess they really work hard. But anyway, we receive energy. You're absolutely right. We receive streams of energy from these different cosmic entities mm-hmm. in our galaxy, and then the masters use those energies to help our planet and the other planets in the solar system. But our masters are strictly with planet Earth. So they take those energies and direct them as they're needed for peace, for healing, for whatever. Yes,
well,
absolutely.
So do they, they're sort of not incognito, but they kind of act like normal beings, right? And what is, I guess I'd like to have a little more illumination. For example, we all have multidimensional existences at the same time, right? Like we aren't just 3D. Are they part of the UFO people? Are they part of the ETs?
No.
Or
no, they're not.
You know what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to link with these.
I'm not sure I do.
Okay. Well, I know that there are huge changes coming through the universal fields and so on.
Yeah.
And I just am trying to get the weaving through these beings and through UFOs and all of that are coming to us, because
yeah.
there's a lot coming to us.
But the masters are in charge of all of it.
Okay.
They are in charge of all. It all goes through them. They're the master scientists. They know how to use the energies for the benefit of humanity and for the benefit of the evolution of not just our planet, but the solar system and our galaxy.
So are they trying to kindle our desire for evolution? Are they trying to kindle...
Oh, absolutely.
Is that their job?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes, absolutely. One of the things they do all the time when they appear to people, for example, in a physical form, is they show that everybody is sacred. You know, that we're all sacred. Even a homeless man, you know, who doesn't have any teeth left and barely has any clothes, and he's sacred. You know, we forget that. And so a lot of times they will appear as a homeless person just to remind us that everybody's sacred. You know, and that we all have that potential. We are all going to become perfect human beings, which is what the masters are.
Hmm.
See, they know us. They've been through evolution. They've had every problem that you and I have had.
Hmm.
They've killed people. They've had horrible relationships. They've been hurt themselves physically and emotionally and mentally. And they've gone through everything that we've gone through. They've had successes, you know. They've gone through life. They've learned all the lessons planet Earth has to teach. So they understand us completely. That's why they never judge us.
That's why they're compassionate.
They never judge us. They just love us.
Oh.
Because they know what we're going through. They know how miserable it can be. And so they just want to help us. They're here to serve, period. That's their. Thank goodness 63 of them stuck around planet Earth to help us and inspire us behind the scenes and to inspire the great achievements of humanity and to give us hope and so on. So they're doing that in all the ways they can. They're doing that all the time. They never sleep. They never eat. You know, they don't need to.
Mm.
Even when they're in a physical body, they don't need to eat and they don't need to sleep. They work 24 hours a day. You know, and they can appear anywhere they want to and then disappear because they have control of the energies.
Mm.
And so I've seen Maitreya many times, according to Benjamin Krem's master, and I've seen Jesus. I've actually seen Jesus more than I've seen Maitreya. But in many different guises. Last time I saw Jesus, he was a little girl. And I was at a Share International booth where we give out information at expos and things, and it was a book exposition. Mm-hmm. And so we had Benjamin Krem's books on display, and with them, Maitreya left a handprint on his handprint on a mirror of a woman's house in Spain. And she went in, she thought it was her son's handprint on the mirror because it was like he had just taken a shower, and she wiped it off, and she came back, and it was back. And she said, okay, something's going on here. Well, she knew that her son knew about Benjamin Krem, so he took a picture of the hand imprint and sent it to Benjamin Krem, and Benjamin Krem published the photo in Share International magazine and said, this is the handprint of Maitreya. Maitreya gave it to us so that we can use it. He said, look at my handprint for a few seconds, and you will get my attention. Then anything you ask for, I will give you, as long as it's within karmic law.
Wow.
So I'm sure he doesn't mean a red Chevy. You know, I'm sure he's talking
about
Ashton.
Why not? Why not?
Well, you're good. I just don't know if you want to waste all your spiritual energy on a red Chevy.
Yeah, I don't think
but anyway, so I have his hand here framed over my desk where I'm sitting right now. And I look at it from time to time, and I, you know, wish things for other people and try to help other people by using his hand. Well, that's another example of how they appear to help us. Mm-hmm. They always appear to help us in one way or another. So I saw her, this little girl, and it looked like her grandmother came to our booth. Mm-hmm. And I was showing them the books, and then I had the handprint of Jesus. It's on a card, not quite 8 by 10. And I was holding it down. It's about 5 by 7. And she pointed at the card, and I said, yes. I didn't tell her what it was yet. I just said, you can have this. And she said something, and I thought she said, how much does it cost? And I said, it's free. You can take it. You can take it. And she said, no. And she signaled for me to bend down, and I bent down, and she pointed at it, and she said, this girl was about 9 years old. She said, that is the hand of the Christ.
Oh, wow.
And I went, whoa, how did you know that? I said, that's right. Very good. Yes, it is. She said, I'm going for my first communion. And I said, oh, good for you. I took my first communion, too. And then she and her grandma left. Well, I couldn't get her out of my mind. That's one of the things that happens when you meet one of the masters. It's an ordinary occurrence, but you can't get it out of your mind.
Right.
And so I finally wrote to Benjamin Krem, and I said, I told him what happened. I told him this little girl. And I said, is there any chance this little girl was Jesus? Because if so, it's the first time I'm aware that Jesus has publicly said that Maitreya is the Christ. Because she said, that's the hand of the Christ. And the answer came back, yes, it was the Master Jesus. Because Christ is a position in our spiritual kingdom.
I was just
going
to ask you
name.
To define that. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Did I talk over you? I didn't mean to.
Not at all. I'm just curious as to what the Christ means, because I know I often refer to it as the Christing process. Does that make sense?
Well, the Christ is there's a Christ energy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christ energy is the energy of love.
Mm-hmm.
It's the love of God, which was revealed by Christ, by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came just like all the great teachers have over the ages. They are major disciples, very advanced disciples, and they volunteer to have a lifetime where they are actually overshadowed part of the time by one of the masters. And that's the way Krishna was. Krishna was overshadowed by Maitreya. And so when Krishna gave out his teachings, he was really giving out Maitreya's teachings, because it was Maitreya's consciousness in Krishna's body at the time. That's a great sacrifice these disciples make, because they could give out great teachings of their own.
Why do they do
that? They do it because they want the message to get out in its purest form. And that would be by having Maitreya's consciousness in their head, or the Buddha's consciousness, like the Buddha. Gautama Buddha was Prince Gautama.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great disciple of the Buddha. But he was Prince Gautama until the Buddha overshadowed him. Then when the Buddha overshadowed him and he started giving out the Buddha's teachings, then he became known as Gautama Buddha.
Hmm.
Well, Jesus, from the time he was baptized until the time he was crucified, during those 3 years of his teaching, he was overshadowed at his own free will overshadowed by Maitreya and gave out Maitreya's teachings. Maitreya is the Christ for our planet.
Hmm.
It's a position in the spiritual hierarchy. It wasn't Jesus' last name. It was a position in the spiritual hierarchy. And so because Jesus gave out his teachings for those 3 years, he became known as Jesus the Christ, or Jesus Christ. And that's why. Just like Prince Gautama became known as Gautama Buddha. Hmm. It's the age-old way the masters have given out their teachings through major disciples. Well, now Jesus is a great master on his own, and this time, that's what makes this time so special, Veronica. This time the masters are coming themselves. They're not overshadowing anybody. Maitreya is going to walk amongst us. He is actually doing it now. He's been here since 1977. He's walking around on the planet in a male body, about 6'3", and he will be in that body. It's indestructible. He can't be killed. He can't be blown up, none of that. And he will be in that body for the next 2,000 years, walking amongst us. That's never happened before, ever, in the history of humanity, that Maitreya has walked amongst us. And so this is a very special time because the masters are going to be walking amongst us. Jesus is here now.
Mm-hmm.
Any Christians listening might want to know, Jesus is living outside of Rome. The couple of the, I don't know if the Pope knows he's here or not, but I know that a couple cardinals that work closely with the Pope know he's here. They've been asked not to say anything because they don't want to infringe people's free will. See, Veronica, if...
Oh, they don't want people to get crazy and judgmental either.
Either way. But if the Pope said Jesus is here, 90% of the Catholics in the world would believe it because the Pope said it, not because they experienced Jesus in their life and recognized him. See, when Jesus starts to speak, people are going to recognize him. They're going to say, this is Jesus. I mean, he's talking about what he did in Bethlehem, 2,000 years ago. This is him. They're going to recognize them on their own. And that's what the masters want. They don't want to infringe our free will. That's why when Maitreya comes, he isn't saying, I'm Maitreya, the world teacher. I'm here to help you fix this mess. He hasn't said that yet. He's not going to say that until we ask him to come forward.
Well, do you think we could get him to run for president?
No, but I think, actually, no, he won't. But hopefully all the presidents around the world will listen to him when he makes suggestions. Benjamin Krem's master, I was talking about the Aquarian energy and how it works through groups.
Yep.
Benjamin Krem's master has said that even the president of the United States will no longer be one person. It will be a panel of wise people.
Wow, this is wonderful.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh, yeah. No,
he said
logical.
He said if Jimmy Carter lives long enough, he'll be on that panel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's a good soul, isn't he? The other thing, several of us, one of the other people I was interviewing, I've had some wonderful interviews with conscious people, but was like, wouldn't it be wonderful if the people that we put in positions of power by voting all were selected because they came from the heart? If that were a criteria, and maybe that's what you're saying,
that's going to happen.
Yeah, okay, these can influence that, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to happen. It's just not happening right now.
But we're in transition, right? And I keep praying that the fields that are changing are also flowing through so that it's easier for people to pick up on, for example, the Maitreya's message or Jesus' message or any of the Master's message in their own vibrational.
The energies support that and happening. Absolutely. The energies support that and happening. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people are becoming more conscious. I mean, people are being born now that are at a higher evolution than a lot of the rest of us.
But you know what's really interesting about that is we have a huge, huge, almost a scary Christian right dominance thing. And I always say, Jesus didn't set up divisions like that, you guys. That's not Christian,
no.
You know. So I just think it's really, do you think that's part of the last gasps of the old order?
Oh, I do. Yeah, the conservatives, the neoconservatives and conservatives in each of the groups will be the last to get on board once Maitreya comes forward on the Day of Declaration. And I want to tell you about that,
that
day will be like
please.
At some point. But once he comes forward, they are going to be hanging on, kicking and screaming to the very end. The conservatives in banking, the conservatives in religion, every religion, the conservatives in the government, All the conservatives in education, in all the fields, will be hanging on to the end. You know, denying the existence of the new, denying that it's time for change, denying that the only way. See, everything we have has been built with Piscean energy. Mm-hmm. The educational system, the financial system, the healthcare system, the government, everything has been built with Piscean energy. Well, Piscean energy is being withdrawn, Veronica. Mm-hmm. So guess what? Everything is collapsing. Mm-hmm. It can't do anything but collapse mm-hmm. because Piscean energy is being withdrawn. They all need to be allowed to collapse and be rebuilt, reborn with the energies of Aquarius, which are about cooperation and working together and synthesis and taking care of each other.
Well, what about the loss? About the loss of life and the loss of planetary, you know, the planet is really being destroyed as well. I mean, is it nip and tuck? Are we going to be able to make it through that time thanks to the masters?
We're at a tipping point right now. My understanding is we're at a tipping point right now, right here, right now, today. We're at a tipping point with ecology,
okay,
with the ecology of the planet, with pollution. Mm-hmm. And if we don't turn it around starting now in a significant ways, we are going to lose certain life forms. They will never come back.
Mm-hmm.
Some plant life, some animal life,
a lot of human.
Some mineral life.
A lot of human.
And a lot of human, mm-hmm. yeah. We'll be lost. So
but we can
change the problem.
That.
This gets us into UFOs.
Yeah, okay. Good.
This gets us into UFOs, but here's the problem. Because we can't end war,
mm-hmm.
because we can't stop starving people,
mm-hmm.
there's a 12% surplus of food on this planet.
Mm.
But people are still starving. Well, you and I talk about every 9 seconds somebody dies of starvation or a starvation-related illness in a world with a 12% per capita surplus of food. That's a sin. I mean, that you talk about a blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a blasphemy. We can't stop starvation. We can't stop war. And we can't stop polluting and killing the planet. That has created a major, major crisis in our solar system. Because planet Earth is now holding back the evolution of the solar system. Everything is evolving from the smallest plant life to human life to cosmic life.
Hmm.
You know, every planet has a plan. Every solar system has a plan. And there's a great spiritual being in charge of that plan. The spiritual being that's in charge of the plan for planet Earth, we call God. But planet Earth is part of the solar system. There's a plan for the solar system, too. Well, we're holding back the evolution of the solar system. So our spiritual hierarchy has asked for help from the spiritual hierarchy of other planets in our solar system, primarily our two neighbors, Mars and Venus. And so they have come, they have sent their people from Mars and from Venus to help us out. They're here in the thousands. They've been here for a long time. And they're here on a spiritual mission. One of the parts of their spiritual mission is to mop up pollution. They have gigantic ships that are in the ocean, in the ground, and in the air, mopping up our pollution, mostly nuclear pollution that we don't even know exists. Mopping it up 24 hours a day. These people could be home on Venus with their families, but they're not. They're sitting up there in a spaceship mopping up our pollution to keep planet Earth alive, Veronica, to keep the planet alive. Now, they can't mop it all up because it's not their mess. Karmically, they're limited to how much they can mop up, but they're keeping the planet alive until we wake up and finish the job and clean it up ourselves. So we owe them a huge karmic debt, and we don't even know it.
Well, how do we take action on this, Dick? If I would really love to be in touch with the ET people, I think sometimes I am actually, but you know what I mean? To work in cahoots, to learn to grow. I remember in the Bible, Jesus said, he said, anything I can do, you could do better. Remember? And he was doing healing things. And
yes. And
indeed, I mean, he was very clear all the way through. You guys can do this. You can do this. I'm going, okay, how do we activate? How do people activate either the links with the ETs who have greater technology or the masters? Or can you tell us how to do that?
We don't need to contact the ETs in order to help.
Okay.
And you notice I don't call them aliens. That's a horrible name made up by the Western world governments to get us to be afraid of them and to not like them.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about power. If if we knew that there are space people who have solutions to all our problems, we would ignore our government leaders. They would lose all their power, wouldn't they?
Yeah, and they're busy telling us there aren't ETs anyway.
Of course. There aren't any, and they're dangerous.
Yeah, really.
Wait a minute. Which one is it? You know, that's the message. So we don't have to actually contact them. They're making themselves known. All you have to do is go on YouTube and put in UFO sightings, and you'll see that 95% of them are real sightings. You can tell. You can identify.
Well,
even
Larry
really
King
easy.
Live, I watched one interrupt a blowing up of a missile. This UFO came right in and interrupted it, and they took it off, of course. They took it off the news.
Yes. They've done that with earthquakes.
Wow.
They did that with the nuclear plant in Japan.
Right.
The space people came in, and what they did is they limited the pollution to that end of the island. It never got over the Pacific Ocean. It never got to the United States. It never got to California. None of that nuclear pollution went anywhere.
Wow.
And that's because of the space people. Yes. They can't get rid of it because we made it, but they can limit where it goes.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, we owe them so much that it can't even be expected.
But they're all
but they've
our,
gotten tired.
They're our ancestors, aren't they? A lot of them are.
Well, now you're getting into a whole different topic.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And what that topic is, well, what that topic is where did the earthly souls come from?
Okay, good.
They came from Venus.
Oh.
Venus is the most advanced planet in our solar system. It is, each planet, according to the Ageless Wisdom, each planet has seven rounds or seven lifetimes.
Okay.
Each lifetime is millions of years. Venus is in its seventh round. It is almost a perfect planet. And when it becomes a perfected planet, it will disappear.
Hmm.
We have one perfected planet in our solar system now. Believe it or not, it's the planet Vulcan, just like Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the planet Vulcan is a perfected planet. It is invisible, but it's here. It's invisible to the human eye.
Mm.
So Venus is almost a perfect planet. Planet Earth is in the middle. We're in the middle of the fourth round. So we're right in the middle. So Benjamin Krem said, if you talk to somebody from Venus, they are so wise and so loving, you would think they were a god.
Mm.
That's how advanced the people are. They're almost perfect, like our spiritual kingdom. Like our masters.
That's like that's
what's flying
always,
around up there.
We always think of Venus as the love planet, anyway, don't we?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, the Pope had an experience of one of the spacecraft.
Really?
It was Pope John, not John the Beloved. It was another one of the popes, Pope John. This was about 30 years ago. He was in the garden of his summer retreat. And he was with a Catholic priest who was kind of like his assistant, his aide. And the aide is the one who told the story. And it's everything everybody can find out, it's absolutely true. They were in the garden, and at the far end of this garden, a spacecraft landed. And the Pope immediately walked towards it. He got to the spacecraft, and the spacecraft, the door opened, and out came this very tall, very beautiful man. And immediately the Pope dropped to his knees in front of this guy.
Wow.
And the guy made a motion for him to stand, and so the Pope stood. They talked for about 15 minutes. The guy got in his spacecraft and took off. The Pope came back. All the Pope said to the priest was, "Isn't it amazing how we don't realize we're not alone?"
Wow, what a story.
Isn't that a great story?
Is there a YouTube on it, Dick?
He recognized the divinity in this Venusian person right away.
Right.
He recognized this was a holy being. You know, this is almost a perfect human being.
Wow.
You know, he recognized it right away. And wouldn't you have loved to have heard that conversation?
Oh,
man. So anyway, yeah, they're out there. They're real. They're there all the time. Here's what people don't understand. I should answer your first question first. I apologize. One thing we can do is promote cooperation instead of competition.
Right.
We can act through groups, be part of the email load to our government representatives and to people in education or wherever. March in the streets. Any group activity will get the support of our spiritual hierarchy and the energies of our planet now. Because it's all going to be done through group work. Individuals have no more power in the Aquarian age. They don't. Things are not achieved through individuals anymore. Look at the people over in Europe.
Right.
They marched in the streets and threw out their government.
Right.
in Egypt just by marching the streets.
Yeah, but
for
look
a few
what
days.
Happened. They got corralled again and they got taken over again. That was terrible.
Right, but we're not going to be put down that easily. The
okay.
people, the everyday person on this planet is going to be in charge of this planet from
yeah.
now on. That's the way it's going to be. And our government representatives, if they don't do what we want them to do, we're going to vote them out.
But you're saying that you're also saying that, or at least you're implying that the urge to be better and more of an integrated, heart-based person is rising through us all. Is that so? Is that?
Oh, absolutely. See, we can be heart-centered, but if we don't act on that, it's worthless.
Right. Okay.
It needs to be put into action, and that's what. Never mind. I was going to think of something else, but I won't. But that's what we need right now is action. People need to take action. Maybe it's writing a letter. Maybe it's marching in the street. Maybe it's making a sign. Maybe it's a bumper sticker. Whatever it is, people need to make phone calls. They need to take action.
They need to connect with each other is what you're saying, so that the voice is bigger than one, right?
Absolutely. And pray with a purpose. Pray with a purpose. Pray, don't just pray about ourselves. Pray about the world. Pray about our family. Pray about our city. Pray about our state. Pray about others.
Mm-hmm.
We need to pray more for others and less for ourselves. It's okay to pray for ourselves, but it shouldn't end there.
I mean, I should stop praying
prayer
for
is
the
a
red,
powerful
I should
spiritual
stop
tool.
Praying for the red Chevy.
Exactly. You know, prayer is a powerful spiritual tool. Prayer is sending spiritual energy to the spiritual universe.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation is opening yourself up to receive spiritual energy from the spiritual universe.
Right.
So prayer and meditation together complete the cycle of communication with the spiritual universe. That's why they're always said together, prayer, meditation, prayer, meditation. Now, meditation isn't for everybody, but you won't know until you try it. Try some real simple, basic meditation. You don't have to get all fancy, and you don't have to do it for hours.
Mm-hmm.
15 minutes is plenty if you're focused, you know. Americans have a problem focusing. They did a study. The average American is focused for 3 minutes.
Wow.
In an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. No, because we have commercial television, which breaks everything up. Everything we do is bam, 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 bam.
Right.
You know? So we're not very good at meditating, whereas the people in Asia, the Japanese, for example, you know, in an hour, they're focused 30 to 40 minutes.
But we could chant. We could chant. We could do breathing. We can do exercise-centered and
any of that.
Yeah.
Any of that. Yeah. Meditation is the most powerful because it's the highest energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a sound. It's way higher than a sound, like chanting. You know, it's way higher than that. But you can do anything like that, absolutely. But more importantly, we need to live our lives taking care of each other, and we need to vote accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get out. When you see a proposition on there about cleaning up the planet, go vote for it. Get rid of the plastic bags in the grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to change the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Every person listening to this broadcast is not here by mistake. They're not on this planet at this time by accident. I believe we're all here right now with a purpose. And that purpose is because we are being counted on to turn this planet around,
mm-hmm.
to end war, to end starvation, to end pollution.
And you think it can really happen, don't you? I can feel it in your heart.
It will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it will happen. It's the next step for humanity. The next step, according to the Ageless Wisdom teachings, the next step for humanity is right relationship with each other.
Mm.
Right relationship. That's the definition of righteousness, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Right relationship. It's not some high churchy thing. It's about treating each other correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
A bit of the old golden rule
about.
Thing, huh?
Yeah,
love,
absolutely.
Love one another.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I drive around with clothes in the back of my car in case I see a homeless person.
Aww.
And I give them the clothes. You know, it's just simple stuff like that. Just taking a minute to stop your car and hand them some stuff, you know, hand them a sandwich or, you know, whatever. It's stuff like that that's going to change the world. That's what we all need to be aware of, that we each, nobody's too old or too crippled to make a difference. Nobody. Everybody can contribute. Every single person. And we're being counted on. This is a critical time in the history of humanity. We have lost our way. And you know what we've lost? We've forgotten who we are.
Yeah.
We've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten that we're not humans having a spiritual experiences. We're a spirit having a human experience.
And the other we've forgotten that we're all in this together. It's not just,
yes,
I have the most bucks, so you're less than. I mean, there's a lot of that stuff that's just got to be like.
Oh, yeah. No. The me generation. That's all Piscean. See, the Piscean energy was individuality and dedication to an ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Dedication to an ideal was the dedication to the ideal of freedom, save the world from the Antichrist, from Hitler. The individuality is what created this whole me generation and this me focus. Man came out of the herd.
But you're talking about a lot of this Piscean stuff started in the 1600s, so it's been like building.
No, it started before then. It's ending in the 1600s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, it started way before then. So 2,000 years, the last 2,000 years basically have been Pisces.
Hmm.
And the next 2,000 will be Aquarius, but it comes in, it fades in and fades, you know.
Oh, well, let's jump, switching the subject before I run out of time with you, which I don't really want to do, is back to the UFO. And I noticed in one of the sites that one of the things I was looking through in preparation for this conversation is this wonderful presentation of two things, the stars that people see and also crop circles. And I'm going, okay, let's do the link between those things and messages and masters. Can you do that sort of thing for?
I can.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all part of the spiritual mission of the UFOs, the space people.
Okay.
They are space brothers and sisters is what they are. And by the way, they're not from the Pleiades. They're not from Sirius. Those folks have their own stuff to worry about. They're from our neighboring planets and other planets in our solar system. And people don't understand that because they don't understand our science is too primitive right now.
Mm-hmm.
Our awareness is solid, liquid, and physical. Our awareness of the physical universe is that format, solid, physical, liquid, physical, gaseous, physical. There are four levels above gas that are so fine, like gas, that we can't smell it, we can't see it, we can't touch it, but it's there.
Mm.
The Aegis Wisdom calls it etheric physical. Etheric physical. Now, some people have etheric vision, and they can actually see etheric physical. These people see the UFOs. They're up there all the time.
Right.
But we don't see them because we don't have etheric vision. They're made out of etheric physical. We're the only planet that's just the right distance from the sun to have solid physical life, and it doesn't melt, and it doesn't freeze.
Mm.
We're the only planet. All the other planets have human life, but they're not solid physical human. They're etheric physical. They have etheric buildings. We land a camera on Mars. It takes pictures. It sees nothing because it doesn't have etheric vision. There are buildings and people all over Mars. Mars has more people than Earth. Mars has 8 billion.
Hmm.
Earth has 6 billion.
Really? But they live in etheric. Would you say also that those are different dimensions? Is that what we could also call?
No, they're not. No, they're not. It's just a different level of physical matter.
Oh, wow.
The scientists have discovered it. They call it dark matter. But that's just etheric physical. That's what their spacecraft are made out of. So here's the cool part. The only time we see their spacecraft are when they want us to. What they do is they lower the vibration of their spacecraft so that it temporarily becomes solid physical, and then we see it.
Mm.
And then when they want to disappear, they either just raise the vibration and poof, they're gone, or they just fly away at the speed of light.
So they can be sitting right with me right now, and they can keep themselves
green
so I don't see them, and then I can sometimes perceive. Huh. Now, back to crop circles before we run out of time. Somebody circulated a thing on Facebook saying that the ETs cannot make a crop circle in GMO'd crops. Is that right? Or will not because it's so destructive to them.
I have never heard that, and I don't think it's true, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
The space people make it, they're right. The space people are making the crop circles.
Right.
And they're making them for a couple reasons, but I'll answer that question first. The reason I don't think that's true is because they don't damage the crops.
Okay.
The crops, that's the miracle of what they're doing.
Yeah, they just
the people
bend
that try to make crop circles, they bend them and they break them.
Yeah.
That when the space people bend them, they're still alive. They still have energy flowing, life flowing through them. They'll bend those crops. That's going to the crop circles and they take pictures. Nothing is broken. Everything's still alive. So I don't think they're worried about that. Here are the two purposes of the crop circles that I'm aware of. Number one, they're a beautiful calling card. You know, these are 3-football field long. They're intricate. It blows your mind. You know, it's a beautiful way of saying very harmlessly, very be saying, we're here.
Mm.
It's a beautiful calling card. The
second
thing,
they also
have
messages in them, don't they? They have messages.
Some do.
Yes.
Some do. Yes, and we'll figure them out.
Mm-hmm.
But the second purpose of them is more important. The second purpose of the crop circles is planet Earth has a magnetic grid. And that magnetic grid, you know, the energies crisscross. And where they crisscross, that's a vortex of energy.
Right.
They are putting the crop circles on these vortexes of energy. They are marking the planet's magnetic grid with these crop circles. And that, in the future, is going to be used, the energy from the magnetic grid of planet Earth in conjunction with the sun's energy, is going to be used, solar energy, is going to be used to provide free of charge, pollution-free, unending supply of energy for every need on our planet forever.
Wow.
Forever. The space people are going to give us that gift, and it's called the science of light, or the technology of light. But it can't give us that gift until we end war, because we will find a way to make a weapon out of
right.
it. You know we will.
Yeah.
So once we end war, for all intents and purposes, I mean, little dictators are going to pop up from time to time, and somebody like the United Nations will go in and put them down. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about war. Once we end war, they're going to give us this technology, and we are going to have pollution-free energy for everybody on the planet, free of charge, forever. And part of that is the crop circles, the grid that the crop circles are marking.
Wonderful. Well, unfortunately, we have to draw this to an end, but what you're saying is we're ending with a beginning. You're talking about big beginnings here, aren't you?
We are. Can I talk about the Day of Declaration for a minute?
Please, yes.
Maitreya is doing television interviews around the world. He's interviewing in China right now. And eventually, he's doing it as an ordinary man. Eventually, people are going to say, wait a minute, you know too much. Who are you really? Who are you really? And when the press and the people start demanding to know who he is, then he can come forward without infringing our free will, and he will have what he calls his Day of Declaration. And that will be hooked up by satellites worldwide. That's what the satellites are up there for. They're up there for this event. They're not up there for World Cup soccer. They're up there for this event. And hooked up by satellite, radio, and TV, he will have a huge worldwide press conference, and that's how all eyes will see and all ears will hear. Even people working in the fields will hear his words in their head when he does this. And he will come forward and he will address the world and he will identify who he is. He will declare who he is, his Day of Declaration.
And when is this going to happen?
It's going to happen within the next 2 years, probably within the next year.
Okay, good.
That's my information. And you will see his face on TV. There's three ways you'll know it's him. You'll see his face, but his lips won't move. You'll hear his words in your head telepathically. It'll be quite an experience. The second way you'll know it's him is that you will feel the love of God. He is going to pour out the love of God into our hearts like we have never felt it before. A lot of people will be crying. I'll probably be one of them. If you're afraid of the Antichrist, trust the love of God, because the Antichrist can't do that. We will all feel that. He says it will be as if I physically embrace you.
Wow.
The third way we'll know it's him is that when he's done speaking for 45 minutes or 50 minutes or however long, it will be reported around the world that while he was speaking, there were hundreds of thousands of miraculous healings. Mm-hmm. And in those three ways, we will know that this world teacher come to help us dig our way out of this mess if we will follow his suggestions.
Okay.
Benjamin Krem said, how many people, he asked his master, how many people will follow Maitreya's suggestions after the Day of Declaration right away? And he said, 1.8 billion people are ready to respond.
Wow. So how do we sign up to make sure we don't miss the TV show? You know,
you will hear there's going to be a great press conference, a worldwide press conference. It'll be released in the news.
Great.
And you don't have to know it, because if you're over the age of 14, you're going to hear his words in your head anyway. But if you hear about a big press conference, tune in. If it's at 3 in the morning, set your alarm, get up, and watch it. Because this is an experience that has never happened before on planet Earth, ever.
Wow. Well, I want that.
We are so lucky to be here.
We are really in a time of change. Well, thank you, Dick Larson of ShareInternational.org. And we'll see you in the ethers. What do you think?
Thanks very much, Veronica.
Thank you for your time and for your heart.
It was my pleasure.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.